Normally I print a blog, but this one is going to be an audio blog. And there are reasons for that. This is intentionally intended to be one of the most transparent talks to church leaders I've ever attempted. So it might be somewhat uncomfortable. I plan to address an aspect of the leader's heart that is rarely addressed, his emotional health. The Apostle Paul spoke to a younger leader, Timothy, who apparently struggled with criticisms, and his personality makeup repeatedly required encouragement. He told him, "Do not be intimidated by those that criticize your youth." Timothy also apparently had psychosomatic troubles with this, and he said, "Drink a little wine for your stomach's sake." One of the metaphors that he used with Timothy was that he emphasized to him that he is in a war. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, he wrote these words to Timothy. "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Additionally, he wrote in his next letter to him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." The metaphor he used was to be a good soldier. In other words, within things that you do, you cannot allow emotions to take over. In your heart, you must block out. You're not an android, and you're certainly not a robot, but there are certain things that you cannot allow to control your life, otherwise you will be constantly in upheaval. So remember, you're in war. At the same time, this same Paul that seems to be outwardly this gruff and tough church planter says to the Thessalonians as he writes, he says, "I was with you like a nursing mother. As I worked among you, you saw that I had a very caring, a tender heart for people, and you just saw the way that I dealt with the church." Additionally, John writes, the Apostle John writes and says, "I have no greater joy than when my children walk in the truth." In other words, there is an emotional aspect to leadership and to working with people that you just can't deny. And if there is great joy to be found when people are connected with a living God and live in harmony with Him, there has to be a great sadness when those that don't. Paul talked about that when he wrote Timothy, and he said that certain people had forsaken him. And he hopes that it doesn't held against others, but he was all alone in his defense for the gospel. He writes about abandonment, about people that were not loyal and couldn't be counted on, and others that had actually done him harm. So that once again, the New Testament reminds us, Christian leaders have emotions. There was a style of leadership at one time that was that soldier type atmosphere that emotions couldn't be displayed, but still waters do run deep. And much like the Elijah of old, after great spiritual battles, often one would find himself far and away and alone and crying out to God. One soldier that I remember was somewhat of a cantankerous old man, a faithful minister for many, many decades, and built incredible ministries, was a blessing to people worldwide. I remember as he was aging that he told me the story. People would ask him, "Well, how are you feeling today?" And his pat answer was, "What would it matter? I've got work to do. Let's just get to it." There's the aspect of ministry that you just put your emotions to the side. Some are going to be able to do that better than others. But please understand, there is going to be an emotional aspect to ministering with people. Recently, I had two scheduled appointments with people during the day. And to my surprise, during the latter of the two, another woman came with her friend that had already scheduled an appointment. So I met with three women during that day. And these were families. The one that came to the second appointment, I did not know her. But all three women, even with their husbands present, said, "I want a divorce. I no longer want to be married to this man. I'm abandoning my family. I'm done. I'm walking away." I cannot begin to tell you the pain that I saw in those families' eyes and the hurt that was caused by it. In the meantime, some of the family members have actually gone in for medical treatment. They've just been so devastated. That has burdened my heart. Just as John said, I have no greater joy than when my children walk in the truth. The reverse is also the case. When people willingly sin and walk away and justify it, it will grieve a shepherd's heart. When sheep are disobedient, and even when they walk away from the flock, you know the danger that's going to come. There is safety in belonging to the herd. And it's easy to be picked off out wandering on their own. So there are just a number of things that I've learned over the decades that I would just love, just off the top of my heart, I would love to just make you aware. Leader, please do know this. People can inflict emotional pain. Some might be intended, some might be unintended. But know that it will come. We're in a messy business, in a broken, broken world. Paul said it happened to him. Jesus said that some had forsaken him. When his teaching got a little bit too straightforward, some would walk away, and when they demanded too much, it hurt. When Lazarus died, and he goes to the family, we see him standing at the grave of Lazarus, and the shortest verse in the New Testament, Jesus wept. There is an emotional aspect to it that we cannot avoid. Please do know this, the sufferings of Christ do not deliver us from suffering. An eternal suffering, yes, of course. But to think that there is a way that we will not have suffering in this world or pain in this world is an illusion. People will inflict pain, and we are in a people business. We are not administrators of institutions. We are shepherds of people. Number two, please take your pain to Jesus and not to people. The older I've gotten, the more I have begun to embrace the Psalms. There's such powerful emotional lyrics that have been written where a songwriter cries out to a God that, when will you hear me? My enemies are come against me. That is going to be your case. Maybe some trusted friend is going to hurt you and wound you deeply. Do not take your pain to people. Don't be one that comes home from work and kicks the dog simply because the boss or a customer has been mean to you that day. Take it where it belongs. Philippians chapter 4, it makes it very clear that if we bring our supplications and our thanksgiving before Him, leave it where it's supposed to be, then the peace of God that passes all understandings will keep our heart. But if we look to the ways that are standard, if you have steam to let off, we go and tell somebody. We find a sympathetic ear that will possibly give us a quick temporary relief is not necessarily going to be a long-term answer. Do not poison other people's hearts. Take it straight to Jesus. Number three, some of us will be called to suffer for His namesake. John Piper says that they took some heat for one of the conferences he was asked to speak at. The conference was entitled The Purpose-Driven Death. We've been led to believe that there is a great plan for our life. I think Hebrews 11 makes it very clear that some of us are destined to be satanic chew toys, that He is going to specially target us and see if He can cause inflict injury. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. Now there is nothing that is lacking in the work of Jesus Christ. That is not as what is he's implying. But in the birth of the church, much like a mother has labor pains, there is yet that aspect that is in the birth that is going to happen. And he says, that is my lot. church planter, you are going to have birth pains to carry. But at the same time, he does say that that is something that we do for his namesake. If Jesus would come to you and lay out the tapestry of your life and say and ask in advance, will you follow me into suffering? What would be your answer? I think theoretically most would say, I would be willing to follow Jesus no matter what. I read the verse again. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Endure your suffering and do not give up. That brings us to the fourth and the final point that he makes in this verse. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Find the joy in spite of the pain. It is going to be a very emotional, tough time. There's going to be an aspect that's going to come. But there is joy to be found. You're going to have to mine many, many, many tons of dirt to find the nuggets of gold. But there is a joy to be received. There's rewards to be had. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, this same point is brought out. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. In verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. To become more Christ-like, that means in the midst of pain, is to be able to sense the joy that is to be had as a result of being faithful. So we consider him so that we do not become weary in well-doing. There will be the times that you are emotionally going to be in a bad place. Endure. And just wait. Look at the waves like the disciples. It wouldn't surprise me if Jesus would show up in your darkest hour and cry out the same words, peace. Peace be unto you. Hang on to the emotionally bad times. Don't make any rash decisions under bad influence of bad emotions. And fill up the sufferings of Jesus Christ for the birth of your church. God bless you.